Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 97 of the Weekly Long Box. I'm Leonard, joined by Todd. Not as always by Todd. I think at this point, 97 episodes in, I'm not being replaced. You're not being replaced. Our listeners aren't being replaced. They're here for the long haul, and so are we.
Yes, unless you've heard something from the upper ups.
I hear nothing from nobody, man, and I got my ear to the ground.
Good, good.
Listening to the rails.
No big steel buffalo coming or anything like that?
No big steel buffalo. I was trying to think of what that joke was in regards to following the tracks. But so how was your weekend? I'm glad we're actually getting a chance to do the show since you actually have the interwebs.
Yes, I fought with my local internet provider and got my internet back after I had to change the name over for a reason into Mayan. And then they didn't want to give me my email back. So like they were like, oh, we can get you internet, no problem. But your email, which I use for my, you know, for work and everything, I'm like, that's gone. I'm like, no, we're doing something about that. So it took a while for them to figure it out. And then after that, during the weekend, I went TV hunting.
Oh,
I went and I looked around and I ended up picking me up a new big screen so I could play Grand Theft Auto.
You know, one of these days I'm going to play one of those Grand Theft Auto games. I've never played a one.
Really? They're fun. I've
seen other people play them.
Ah, you could come over and watch me play Grand Theft Auto anytime later. But I got me a 60-inch high def. Looks nice. Looks nice. Hooked up the PS3. Now I can watch Netflix on it because it has the Netflix app on the PS3. I'm all set. I'm good to go. You won't hear from
me. You don't mind me asking, what'd that run you?
A little over $9.
Wow. The only reason I ask is, you know, they're not a sponsor or nothing, but, you know, Woot? Have you ever heard of Woot?
Yes.
They have a deal right now of, it's a Vizio, you know, Vizio what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 55-incher for $660.
That's a good deal. And Vizio's, not that they're a sponsor either, are a decent TV. You know, they get a bad rap. They were kind of crappy when they first came out. But
They were like the Walmart Sam's Club special.
Right. And my brother got a Vizio. And they're nice. They're good. I ended up getting a Samsung.
That's what I have. I like them.
I like it. I went no bells and whistles. They're like, do you want 3D? Do you want this? Do you want the smart TV? I'm like, no, I just want a high def TV. The PS3 does the smart TV stuff. And even if I wanted to, I could get the football package through the PS3 so I could watch my Raiders lose every game of the year. But it was cool. So I had a friend help me set it up and, you know, I just got to christen it with a good movie, maybe Unforgiven Blu-ray.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So we have comic stuff to talk about. I'm glad all your internet and TV woes work themselves out.
Yes.
It's a slow news week, only because I think a lot of people are sitting on stuff with New York looming around just, what, 2 weeks away, 3 weeks away?
Yeah, a little 2.5, I think.
We do have some stuff, though, you know, rumors of what's planned in Superior Spider-Man, not that there's not enough already going on. In there, more conventions. Wizard is going even more con crazy than they were before. The first big event that Valiant's doing, as well as Thanos' son. And I think we're going to talk about that a bit in the books that we've read from this past week. But, you know, there's cons this weekend. We've got digital stuffs and a big digital sale that DC's doing. It seems they're doing a little bit with a little bit more regularity, which makes me happy. We cross over on pretty much everything except for one or two books. I know I'm forcing Todd to continue talking about Infinity here on the show as issue 3 of that came out. We have the Villains Month stuff. We have Thor 13 to talk about. I'm not sure if we're going to cross over on what we are looking forward to coming up this week because I flip-flopped a bit on this one.
Okay, that should be interesting then.
Should be interesting, and I don't think we're going to cross over. Maybe we will. You know what? I'm going to say we're going to cross over on our pick for favorite kid in comics.
Okay.
Not kid sidekick, not kid hero, just, you know, favorite kid.
Okay. I don't know. I'm curious.
Mm-hmm. I think we're going to cross over there. I don't think we're going to cross over on the book from this week.
Okay.
So let's get into some news stuff. As I mentioned, Valiant, which has a lot of really good stuff. They have tons and tons of really good creators. A lot of the retailers, I know our local retailer, just recently received the red variant of Unity number one, which is their big crossover that they have coming out starting in the next couple weeks, with a whole big long thing of like really trying to hook you, the retailer, to hook us, the comic buying public, into picking this up. That it's the biggest characters, perfect jumping on point, so on and so forth. It's going to be 100% returnable. And what is the crazy thing? There was like some crazy verbiage in here. And being that it's the special red copy, of course, it's going to be a variant that they're claiming that you could flip. And they also say in here, no matter what you sell, incentive variants do not need to be returned, even the 1 in 200 black and white sketch cover. And it's got a good creative team on it. It's got Matt Kent writing. It's got Doug Braithwaite. Other than Quantum and Woody, which I think is the only Valiant book that's not crossing over with this, are you reading anything else from Valiant these days?
No, and I actually never read any Valiant other than Quantum and Woody back in the old days either. I was never a Valiant person. Heard it was really good, just, you know, like we always talked about how much you can afford. And right now, when the Valiant books came out again, other than Quantum and Woody, they all flew under the radar for me. But a lot of people I know, like Dave and I got like Scott, my friend, they rave about them. And it makes me want to do it, but, you know, it's tough.
Well, I know they had a sale. We talked about it on last week's show, or maybe 2 weeks ago show, where pretty much everything old and new for Valiant, everything except for the stuff that had just come out that past week, was all on sale through Comixology. I'm reading Quantum and Woody for the same reasons that you are. That was the only book that I read back from the Valiant days. I am reading Archer and Armstrong, and I really didn't know much about what the concept of the book was. I only picked it up because I like Fred Van Lente, and it's really good. The second trade just came out about a month or so ago. They're doing a really good job of keeping up on the trades and getting them out at a very quick clip. Looking at you, DC.
What, DC doesn't get their books, their trades out on a quick time? I don't know what you're talking about.
If you plan on going to any panels at New York, you are my and a lot of our listeners' liaison to go to a DC panel, do your best Dan DiDio impersonation, and ask him why it takes forever for the trades to come out.
I will.
And after you're done strangling him, let him give your answer.
Okay. I'm going to have to... Do you have any YouTube videos I can watch of Dan DiDio so I can get a really good impersonation down?
No, but I do have the Baltazar Franco and John Suntress podcast that they do, where they do a lot of the Dan impersonation.
Okay, that'll work. Because me doing an impersonation of someone doing an impersonation, it'd be fantastic, right? podcasting.
So, one of the other things that... So, again, I'm not sure if I'm sold on Unity. Maybe I'll check out the first issue, depending on how heavily it ties into what's going on in Archer and Armstrong. That's going to be my gateway book to whether or not I pick up Unity or not. So, has Dave, our local retailer, gotten any offers for his red variant cover?
Not that I know of. I figured he would, you know, unless a customer had come in and wanted it, which I don't know. But I think that'll probably be an eBay book, maybe a wall book, because that's a pretty cool idea, just to give, like, a book.
Yeah.
I actually thought when I read this, I was like... That was amazing, because, you know, like, everything's incentive laden, and, you know, it's just like, here you go, something you could flip and make some money, and that, you know, will get a retailer's attention. See how it
works. And that's, you know, I know DC did it recently with the retailer summits when Superman Unchained came out, and it was right as the villains books were being announced. They're like, hey, everyone who came to this summit, here is a 3D version of Superman Unchained 1. This is the only way you can get it.
Right.
Do whatever you're going to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they're also doing a 3D variant of the Forever Evil book with one of their Indiegogo Be a Hero initiatives. They do one every, like, 2 months or so, and there's always, like, cool incentives and things like that. And I think they're doing a 3D variant of Forever Evil in there that you can only get that way as well. So that's one way, you know, it's a charitable donation. The other way that DC did it was at the Retailer Summit. Valiant, though, just like, hey... Every retailer, enjoy this book. whatever you're going to do with it, do it.
Yeah, that's cool.
So just moving on here from one pending event to one current event that we are going to be talking about. And I don't mean current events in the general terms. I mean the multitude of events that seem to be going on all the time in comics. One of the cruxes of Infinity is that Thanos is looking for his son.
Yes.
And I ask that as a question because apparently this was kind of sort of spoiled with the Avengers Alliance online game.
Okay.
That not only did they show him, you know, not only did they name the character, they showed him with a different look and kind of talking about, you know, what his role going forward is.
Right.
And I think part of that was also why the AR code stuff wasn't working last week when the books first came out, because there was talk in there of, you know, spoiling information about the character in the story that he is going to be the major crux of and the new relaunch of Inhumans or Inhuman when that comes up in December. I'm guessing he's going to be a main character. So yeah, it just this is a rare misstep by Marvel for them to leak something like this accidentally in like a video game that's going to play a larger part in their universe.
Right, and I mean they have hinted at this character already in the books,
mm-hmm.
but to have that much information about him, you know, I think as a matter of fact, it was like the what are the issue two or something like that that it's first mentioned. Three was out last week, but yeah, I was like, wow, that's as I'm looking at that, I'm like. There's nothing about this in the book yet, any of this, you know?
Right, he is there in name, and we know it is his son because we're being told that, but, like, he doesn't have any powers, he doesn't have anything, he's just a guy. Spoilers, everybody.
Right.
So, yeah, again, that's just a crazy thing, a rare misstep by Marvel, and I don't want to point it out, but it was just, if you're playing the Avengers Alliance game, let us know how that character is.
Right.
And we're going to talk more about the ongoing stuff in Infinity a little bit later on, just as we continue with the news I had mentioned about some stuff being teased with Superior Spider-Man and, you know, Dan Slott. He's been working on this book forever now. He's been the regular writer on it for quite some time in both the amazing incarnation of the current incarnation. You know, I don't read the solicitation text in the books, when the previews come out, it's usually just to see how many issues of my favorite Marvel books are shipping, usually two or three a month,
mm-hmm.
or if it's Guardians of the Galaxy and Hawkeye, maybe not at all.
Right.
But Dan Slott's whole thing is he's saying in issue 20, which is coming out next month, that is going to be the book. He's, you know, one of his tweets said in 2014, when Spider-Man fans ask, when did that start? Or when did that first show up? It's issue 20 that they'll be talking about. It's stuff that's going to be felt in the books for years to come, so on and so forth. Now, Dan Slott does sometimes suffer from a little bit of Stan Lee-itis, where he is a little bit of a huckster and hypester for his own stuff. And more times than not, it usually does pay off. I'm excited to see what happens. I love the book. I'm excited for everything that happens in the book. I can't even imagine what it's going to be with all the stuff that he's done to the Spider-Man and the Peter Parker and the Dr. Ock characters over these last several years. I can't even imagine what this thing is that he's hyping up this much.
Well, he does have the track record with you know, Spider-Man 698, so I'll give him that. But I know what you're saying totally about you know, the huckster part, the Stan Lee, the funky Flashman, if you will. it's tough sometimes because, like, as much as, like, you get one, like, he did it with the Doc Ock and everything you say, but, like, now, like, you know, a lot of writers do it and they're like, oh, this is big, this is going to be here for years. I kind of like, you know what, I'm reading the book, so you don't have to sell me. We'll see. You know, that's the kind of the way I look at it, and hopefully it blows my mind, and that'll be great.
Right, I certainly hope so as well. Lastly, before we get into some other stuff to talk about in the world of comics, Wizard World. Remember a couple of years ago where Wizard was kind of like in the doldrums of their life, declaring bankruptcy and all this other jazz?
Mm-hmm. People getting copies of different magazines because, you know, getting like, you know, whatever, just to fill the gap of the magazine because it went down. Yeah, it was crazy at that time.
Yeah, things were not looking good for Wizard, but they just announced their schedule for 2014, and they have added 7 new conventions in addition to their regular stops. New markets that get very little play when it comes to any Comic-Cons at all. Sacramento, Louisville, Minneapolis, Atlanta, not so much, San Antonio, Richmond, Virginia, and Tulsa, Oklahoma. Those being some interesting spots. Now, obviously, Wizard is not going to just willy-nilly pick these places out of thin air. I'm sure they've done a lot of research and market research to pick these specific spots, you know, for why they're putting up conventions there.
If I had to bet money on it, and I'm betting you didn't check into it either, I bet you all those places have a con. Like I'm not talking like you know, San Diego or New York or Atlanta, like the Dragon Con, but I bet you if they're going there, there's somebody who's doing it and they want it, they want that piece, because you know, because I remember when they everybody talked about the con wars, like, because big cities would have their cons, like Chicago and this and that, and Wizard was trying to compete with every one of them, so. That's my take. I bet you there's a few cons and there's money to be had there. That's why.
Now, I'm sure there's small cons in a lot of your San Franciscos and so on and so forth. But as I look here, there is a Tulsa Comic Book Convention, but it looks like maybe they did not do one in like a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like there used to be a con. Now, this may be one of those things where they kind of just came in and took over the previous con.
Yeah, they might have.
Yeah, which is sometimes they do. And it's not even Tulsa proper. It's kind of more so Oklahoma City, which is nearby, close enough. So, yeah, that's I like your thought processes better on this one.
Okay. That's because I'm smarter, but that's okay.
You certainly are. So, yeah, so if one of those places are mentioned, and you can go to Wizard, you know, I think it's wizardworld.com, and they could tell you where all the conventions are, and you could plan your schedule accordingly in 2014. One that may be too short of notice for you to plan your schedule on is this weekend, is Pittsburgh Comic-Con. I guess it's taking place at the Monroeville Convention Center, which is nearby the Monroeville Mall, famous from the Dawn of the Dead George Romero movie. And this is one of those standby cons that happen all the time. And it's tons and tons of great talent is going to be there. This is a Friday, Saturday, Sunday convention. I'm almost certain such names as, you know, George Perez is going to be there. Eddie Barrows is going to be there. He was just at another shop nearby us doing a signing as well. I guess he's in the northeastern area. Just looking over their list, Barry Kitson is going to be there, who you got a chance to meet, and you said he's a really good man.
Yes, the best.
Mike McCone is going to be there, who I'm a fan of. Pat Olef, who I always have a fond spot in my heart for the old Untold Tales of Spider-Man book that he did with Kurt Busiek back in the day. Tons and tons of people, but I'll include the link there in the notes. If you're in the Pittsburgh area, of course, go check out that convention. And any convention that comes up in your area.
Yes. Love going to conventions. And New York is nearly upon us.
Oh, yes. Somebody had asked me the other day if I was going. And every time someone asks me, it just hardens my heart a little bit more. But it's the weekend of the man's birthday, so.
I understand. You just let us all down. That's okay.
I let everyone.
No, that's fair. I'm actually mad. I'm missing his birthday.
Yeah.
I'll have to send something big.
Something. You'll have to send your well wishes.
Yes, a TARDIS something.
Oh, boy.
But anyway.
So the other link I want to mention before we get into this will be a nice little segue in the digital books, of course, that currently Comixology is having a survey on their website, just general information, whether you're a digital comics person or not. Last time they did a survey, everybody got a free book, and the free book was Bandette. Which is a great book. It's being collected from Dark Horse, I think, in November. And always a digital book. It's Paul Tobin and Colleen Coover as the creative team on that. I think the Survey takes you maybe about 5 to 10 minutes at the absolute most, depending on how quick your interwebs are. And they'll send you a free book digitally next month, whether you're a digital person or not. Definitely check that out. Other digital freebies that are available right now, Marvel always has a bunch available. They have Irredeemable Ant-Man number 1, written by an unknown writer by the name of Robert Kirkman. Remember when Kirkman was doing tons of stuff for Marvel?
His Marvel team-up was awesome.
His Marvel team-up was awesome. And it even crossed over with Invincible, of all things.
Which crazy stuff.
Crazy stuff. So that's up there. The Journey into Mystery number 622, which is the first Kieran Gillen penned Kid Loki starring issue of that title. And Spider-Man chapter 1. Remember right before the Ultimate Universe started, or almost like... Right before the Ultimate Universe started, John Byrne did the relaunch of Spider-Man that was supposed to redo his origin with this Chapter 1 bi-weekly series.
Yes, I do. That's the book that I said made Ultimate Spider-Man what it was. Yeah.
Are you insinuating that the quality of this book directly impacted the sales of Ultimate Spider-Man?
Yes, I do. I think people went in with the Chapter 1, it was bad taste in their mouth, and shortly after that, they did Ultimate Spider-Man, which was a everybody says it's a great story, but I think people ordered it lower than a Spider-Man book than they would have because of that book, and that's why that book has some legs with the prices that it gets to this day, because people didn't want another revamp of the origin so soon, coming off one so bad. That's my honest opinion. But you don't think so?
No, that's an interesting theory.
Okay. But go ahead. What were you going to say about it?
No, I was going to say, because I remember getting that because I was a Spider-Man person at the time. And it just didn't work for me, like, at all.
Right.
There was just something about it that didn't feel right.
Well, I mean, and that was like John Byrne, you know, at the end of his like really great runs of stuff. And I tried it too. There was a couple of things that I liked about it, but in the end, I couldn't stomach it either.
Interesting.
So, is that all the digital today?
Well, there's two sales going on right now. Marvel has still for sale the first trade of Matt Fraction's run on Iron Man. I think the normal selling price of the trade, like even digitally, is like $12. They have it on sale for $4.
Mm-hmm.
And DC is also having a sale on Fables. And when I say DC is having a sale on Fables through Comixology, they are having a sale on anything remotely Fables related. And I would say a good chunk of it. No, I would say, oh boy. Let me do the math. I would say at least 90% of it is great.
Wow.
You got the, you know, you're up to issue 130 of the actual series. You've got all the tie-ins. You've got all the one-shots. You've got the Jack of Fables miniseries. You got the current ongoing Ferrest book, which is the second book to spin out of the Fables universe. Then there was a little miniseries that they did called The Literals. That was a big crossover. The two Cinderella miniseries that were done by Chris Roberson are both really good as well. Tons and tons of great stuff for Fables. I own, I'd say, almost all of it because it's a great story. I was actually just recommending some of it to someone the other day. I suggest to you, you the listener, if you're a digital comic book reader, go pick up issues 11 and 12. Let me just make sure before I put my foot in my mouth.
You never do that, but go ahead.
No, it's actually, it's issues 12 and 13.
Mm-hmm.
12 and 13, it'll run you $2 to pick up those two issues. It is bridging the two previous stories that had just happened into the next big story, which is an election in Fabletown. But the B story, if you will, in the book, is an investigative reporter thinks he has figured out the Fable secret. And what he thinks the Fable secret is and how they deal with it is maybe one of my favorite moments in comics.
Wow, that's high praise.
It is high praise. The covers kind of spoil it a little bit, but we're talking about a book that is 7 or 8 years old.
Uh-oh.
Go drop the $2, pick up the 2 issues, let me know what you think. And they have my highest recommendation.
That's big. Maybe I'll have to give that a look.
Yes, yes indeed. So that's all we have in digital stuff this week.
Then I guess now would be a good time to mention our sponsor.
Now would be a great time to do that.
That's how we do this. It's a transporter, which is a backup device. It's a private cloud device that, you know, you control and you own. You don't have to worry about who sees what's on there because you have no privacy concerns or even reoccurring monthly fees once you get it. It's as simple to use as Dropbox. And in addition to Windows and Mac, there's mobile versions for iOS and Android. And they have all different sizes of memories from all the way up to 2 terabytes, which is still a lot of memory. That's a good amount.
That's right. You can get a an MP4 of every Raiders victory in the last 20 years and still have like 1.7 terabytes to go.
Wow, that was cold.
There you go.
That was good though. I like that.
So if you want to get one of these awesome devices for yourself, like I have and Todd has and a lot of our listeners have, just head over to filetransporter.com/longbox. They have a little button there that says click to buy. And when you go in there, just choose the option of connected data. They're the sponsored folks who actually make the file transporter. And when you check out with connected data, just make sure you put the code LONGBOX in at checkout, and you will get 10% off your entire order.
10% is a good deal.
10% is a great deal on a great device, so definitely check that out if you need file backup. And everything is digital these days. So make sure that you back up your stuff and do it with File Transporter and let them know we sent you.
Yes.
So let's get into books from this past week that we read. Let's start off with Thor, God of Thunder, number 13. I think that was both of our pick.
I think it actually was. Oh, no, mine was, wasn't mine Lex Luthor?
Yours was Lex, that's correct.
Right. I got a little confused,
Yes, so Thor, God of Thunder, number 13, the beginning of a new story arc, written by Jason Aaron, art by Ron Garney. This is the return of Malekith, as we had mentioned last week, who is going to be the big baddie in the upcoming Thor movie coming out later this year. What did you think of this issue?
I liked this issue. I thought the art was good. I thought the coloring really helped. I mean, I don't think it's as strong as the other stories early on in the run, but I really liked it because it's mostly a villain, you know, mostly the villain story. And I like the side characters. I like the one character, Scum Tongue, I think was fantastic.
Yes.
And I mean, we get everything. We get a backstory, everything we need to know. It sets everything up. And then as we get in the book, we get to the Thor scenes, which are fun. You know, that them in the hall is just like, you know, is what I like about this book. And then the two of them, you know, the stories start to come together. And like I said, just a great starting point, you know, for the story. And I want to see where it goes.
Right. And that's my only real complaint about this issue. It's a good issue. It's a really good issue. Ron Garney and Jason Aaron re-teaming back up. I first saw them working together back on Wolverine, and they've done things here and there. And I guess he's going to be the artist for this arc, and I'm all for it. I love the art in this issue. It looked really good. There was a lot of good stuff with the Warriors in this. But compared to the strength of the previous 12 issues, it's good. It's just not as good as those previous 12 issues.
I totally agree. Totally agree. I mean, like you said, really good, but go ahead.
Yeah, again, really good. And I think if this is your first Thor book that you're reading, like if you're just hopping on because it's the movie, then by all means, you're probably going to love it. You're probably going to be blown away at how great it is. And as great as these stories are, go get the previous 12.
Definitely.
And you're going to see like how unbelievably great Thor can be.
Right. You ever wonder if sometimes like that he just clicks with Assad Ribic too? Like, not that Garney's a bad artist, but sometimes, like, you know, when these change, that there's not, like, maybe the communication, maybe Assad's adding something and stuff like that. Like, they always said, like, the Wolfman Perez, you know, Titans, or the Byrne Claremont X-Men. There's just certain something about teams and stuff like that that maybe... with this change.
I don't know if that's it. Remember there was the one issue of the Thor book that had the fill-in artist?
Butch Geist, I think it was.
Butch Geist did the art. That's right. And it was just more of a backstory of Gore and everything like that. So for it to be different art, that's fine. However, I don't think if, you know, what's the wording I'm trying to look for? Assad Ribic needed to be the artist on that storyline.
Right.
He needed to be the artist on that storyline to really make it feel as epic as it is. Since this one now is a more superhero-y battle, I think it's going to take us like maybe an issue or two to kind of get in. She's like, okay, that was that story. This is now a Thor superhero-y story.
Gotcha.
If that makes any sense.
I kind of understand. Mm-hmm. But I see where you're going. It's a different tone of story. So maybe, you know, different tone plus different artist, stuff like that.
Right. Gotcha. That's exactly what I'm going for.
Okay.
Yes, yes, yes.
Gotcha.
But it was still really good, and hopefully a lot of people check it out, and I think a lot of people did, because I saw the other day Jason Aaron tweeting that this was the first issue of Thor to sell out of its initial print run.
Good. That's probably because of us.
Probably. You know what? I'd like to think that it's because of us, and not because the story is awesome. I'd like to think that people just blindly buy the books that we tell them to.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm going with the school of thought is the story was really awesome, but nobody knew. Until we told them. That's what I'm going with. But anyway.
Anyway, so Thor number 13. It's sold out in print, but digitally. Check it out. If you're new to Thor, this is the perfect jumping on point. If you're excited for the movie coming out later this year, definitely check this out. I don't think it's going to tie in, but it's definitely going to be a little primer, if you will, for that next big Thor storyline in the theaters.
Yep. I think that's really cool. Check it out.
Yes. So let's get into the villains books that we read. And there was a bunch of them. There's 13 every week. The one that you were most looking forward to was the Lex Luthor book, Action Comics 23.13: Lex Luthor, rolls right off the tongue. written by Charles Soule, with art by Raymond Bermudez. And that's a name I can pronounce. So you're going to start this one off since this is the one that you were most looking forward to. I do just want to say this, I think, has been the only villains book to not have a preview online.
Really? I didn't know that.
Every other villains book had like a minimum, you know, 4-page preview. I have scoured the interwebs because I'd like to have that in our notes so our listeners can be like, well, I don't know how I feel about this book. Let's look at the first couple pages. This is the only villains book to not have a preview.
Maybe next time I'll have to change my what I'm looking forward to.
No. I just wonder why.
I don't know. But this is a book. It's basically, you know, the Villains Month book. It's Lex getting out of prison and starting his new life as, you know, the CEO of his corporation and everything. And it's the tricks and the evil things that he's doing in everyday business to, you know, his plans for taking over stuff to smear Superman. And this is the Lex Luthor that I was always a fan of. I was more of a mm-hmm. fan of the business jerk Lex Luthor any day than the crazy mad scientist, armor wearing Lex Luthor. But they work that in too, that he's very smart and he's a super genius. And, you know, like they're wearing some armor at one point, and it all works very well. He takes everything from Lex's past and merges it into, I think, a really good story that takes place shortly before the events of Forever Evil.
Right, and that's another thing. I'll have to send you the link later, but there's a great blog out there that's doing... He's the guy who's running the blog is reading all the villains' books and kind of giving you an idea of if they do fit in with the Forever Evil stuff, where they fit in.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is about as, you know, about as close to it as you possibly get. It's almost like a prequel to that first issue.
Right. It ends with what's start, doesn't it? It end with what's starting the book? No. Right. But I don't want to give too much away. But the ending, one of the scenes, like, you know, goes right into to Forever Evil. So, yeah, it's really close.
Right. I really like this. This was on my list because you and I are both Charles Soule fans. Mm-hmm. And I'm in complete agreement with you. This is the Lex that I like. You know, more scientist. I like a little businessman thrown in there. You want to throw a super scientist, crazy battle suit wearing guy every now and then. But Lex should be a scientist first and a businessman second. And I think this book does a really good job of capturing that. Now, there were a few parts, because I'm not reading all the Superman stuff. The Lex in this doesn't 100% line up with what Lex has done or is doing in Superman Unchained. And there was one part, and I don't think this is too much of a spoiler because it's like it's in and out before it happens. When he is first released from prison at the very beginning, he has like some weird scarring on his face.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that too. I don't know where that's from.
But it doesn't matter because he just goes and gets it fixed anyway once he gets out of prison.
You know what? Now that I'm looking back, I think that happened in the crossover between the Justice League books.
Mm.
At one point, Pandora goes to him with the Pandora's box, and there's like people come to fight at the prison while he's there, and I think he gets scarred while that's going on, if I remember correctly. But I'm not 100% sure on that.
We shall certainly see. Yep. And with Charles Soule being the writer on the upcoming Superman Wonder Woman book, this is to me hoping that the main villain in the book is going to be Lex Luthor, if this is the Lex Luthor that we're going to be getting.
I totally agree. Totally agree.
Yes. So, yeah, this was one of the better, if not at least, you know, top villains month books that I've read.
Yes. There have been a few standouts, definitely a few standouts, and this was probably close to the top of the list for me, too.
Mm-hmm. So, continuing on with some of the other villains' books, we both read Swamp Thing, also by Charles Soule, with art by Jesus Saez, and this is an Arcane story. This is the first time that Soule is really getting a chance to write about Arcane in his current run on Swamp Thing. And, you know, I said the Lex Luthor book was a crucial book to everything that's going on in the Forever Evil stuff and was really awesome.
Right.
I have a feeling that this book does not really fit into what's going on in the Forever Evil stuff. If you're just looking for that sort of thing, you could probably skip it. But if you are a Swamp Thing person or you like to be completely creeped out, this is the book for you.
Yes, it was. There was a lot of creepy stuff in here. Basically, the creepiest stuff is like the punishment for Arcane, and mm-hmm. and like to think that would be punishment was ridiculous. And I don't mean ridiculous bad; just it was crazy what he was doing. And just certain scenes where like there's the multiple bodies laying around. I'm like, Charles Soule, like from that his Swamp Thing recently, like. That's this book, but the Whiskey Tree, some of the stuff he's doing, he's really quickly becoming the writer that disturbs me the most when I read his books on a monthly basis, and I'm that's a good thing to me. But yeah, this is not a big chunk of Forever Evil, but I do think, you know, at some point stuff in this is setting up where the book is going to be down the line.
Right, once the whatever storyline he has in place, once Arcane comes back, this definitely makes me feel that Arcane is going to be back and back in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
So much of this book. Now, I'm not one much I'd like to say I don't scare easily or get disturbed easily when it comes to stuff, especially in comic books. I do like that happening in comic books, but it doesn't give me the same feel. And I wouldn't want to say that there were jump scares by any stretch of the imagination, because it's a comic book, you're controlling the pace at which you read the books on and so forth. But the opening stuff with Arcane trapped in his own personal hell
mm-hmm.
were great.
Yes.
You really felt almost bad for him. Almost. And this is a horrible, rotten character, and he is drawn in a horrible, rotten way. But his plight is told so well, both with the words and the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And not to give too much away, of course, but the end with the apple.
Yes, I was just going to mention that. That was icky. Like,
yes, it was icky, and it was one of those scenes that if that happened in a movie or on a TV show, that's like one of those points that people would point to as like, that's the scene.
Yep, that's the shot.
And you wouldn't think that it works in a comic book, and it so works in a comic book. It so works in this book.
Yep, and he had actually, Charles Soule had 3 books this week, which is ridiculous. He did the Green Lantern Black Hand one too, which was pretty good, but... So he's getting around. He's getting some work there at DC.
And at Marvel. And he's got his book coming out from Oni that we talked about last week. Hopefully, based on our speaking of it last week and a lot of the press that the book itself has been getting online, hopefully our listeners do check it out. This is definitely, I have a feeling it's going to be a book that is going to be severely under-ordered and people are going to be scrambling for it when it comes out.
Exactly.
And hey, I'll say this, Charles Soule, if he's going to be at New York Comic Con and you did not order this book for some reason besides me doing the turn and point at you and saying shame, go hunt him down and get this book while he has those copies, those convention exclusive copies available.
Right.
You will not be sorry that you did.
Yes, and he'll sign them for you and everything.
He'll sign them for you and everything, that's correct. So yeah, that was a really good book. Like I said, Black Hand, like I said... A bonus book that we're going to talk about. It just felt a little light. It was a really good book. I thought that with a character whose powers are so strangely defined, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Charles Soule did his best with making those powers be a little bit more defined.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing this is playing into the next big storyline for... the Green Lanterns, the Lights Out thing that starts next month.
Right.
But we shall see.
Yes.
You know, I do my best to avoid the solicitations to see who is involving themselves in what. But, yeah, it was a good book. If a Green Lantern completist, a Charles Soule completist, get Black Hand. But if your pocketbook is light this week and you're looking for Charles Soule books to get, Lex and Arcane are the two winners of his for the week.
Hands down, I believe, no pun intended, for the Black Hand, are the winners, Lex Luthor and Arcane.
So another one that you read that I did not get a chance to read was Detective Comics number 23.3: The Scarecrow.
Yes. And basically this is a story of the Scarecrow has a plan. We're not sure what it is, but he's going from district to district now with, you know, the Justice League gone and the Secret Society around, that Gotham has been divvied up to the villains. And he's going, telling them that something's coming and we have to take care of it together or we're all going down the tubes. And the way he's a psychologist and he's going from one person to the other and he's just using his psychologist knowledge to talk to them in different ways, from the Riddler to Mr. Freeze. And it's creepy in a way that it's like you could tell he's being fake, but they're all crazy and eating it up. And other people aren't, and the way they work. But I thought it was really brilliantly done and all around creepy. And I liked, I believe it's Tomasi. I want to make sure I got it right because, yeah, Peter Tomasi.
It is, yes.
Peter Tomasi, he was doing it. And this is one of those books, like, you know, I was a big fan of the Batman and Robin book until Batman got crazy. But this is the Tomasi that I've loved on those books back, you know, and better than ever doing a villain's book.
So this one, I think you said, does fit right into what's going on in the Forever Evil storyline?
Definitely big time, because it takes mm-hmm. place as, you know, the sun's, Ultraman did with the sun, and they're talking about all that stuff, and the Justice League is gone, so there's no mistaking that we're in the middle of Forever Evil in this one.
There you go. So that's good. If you're a completist in that respect, make sure you check out the Scarecrow book. So that rounds us up on the Villains Month stuff. We do have one more week of those coming out this upcoming week, of course. We also have Infinity stuff. That's the big crossover. One of the two big crossovers going on right now at Marvel, the other one being the Battle for the Atom stuff in the X-Books. Infinity, there was two books that Todd wanted to talk about from this past week. As I mentioned, I'm forcing him to talk about Infinity, the ongoing, since I'm not reading that. Infinity number 3 and Avengers, or New Avengers number 10 came out this past week.
Right, and I, instead of doing them separately, I decided to put them together. I asked Leonard if we could do that, because they are, to me, one book at this point, and I'm not reading the regular Avengers book. But I'm going to start with an Infinity, which I liked. There's lots of, you know, things going on in this, and there's these moments that I love, like Cap taking control of the Avengers in space, and, you know, Thanos doing things with, he's talking with Black Bolt, and what Black Bolt's plan is. Maximus is the crazy inhuman. What he's doing, he's talking about what madness is. And these are all great scenes. But while these scenes are going on, around them are things I don't understand how we got where we got. Like, the Avengers are out in space, so Thanos is taking advantage of that and coming to Earth to look for what he's looking for. And I don't know if Thanos plan the thing in space, or it's a coincidence, and it's very vague, and that's what I don't like about Infinity. Brilliant scenes stitched together with things that I'm not quite sure are going on.
Interesting. Now, I'll say this. I am not reading Infinity. I did read New Avengers number 10. I did not get a chance to read the other issues, but I felt as though in New Avengers, at the very least, if you were just reading that, they do a good job of catching you up to speed. I'm not really sure why. They explain, like, here's the reason Black Bolt's talking, but they don't really explain how it got to that point. And then with Maximus being involved with it, it's not really clear exactly what Black Bolt is having him do, but I enjoyed what was going on in 10. I really like Diodato's art. I like what the Illuminati is up to, trying to find it. I like all the different characters playing off each other, and I think... New Avengers is the more Illuminati book of the two Hickman books, right?
Yes, that's pretty much, that's the Illuminati, and then the Avengers book is the Avengers team that the world knows.
Okay, so I like that. I like his interplay with the characters. I think he has a good handle on the characters who were in the Illuminati.
And
I enjoyed New Avengers number 10.
And that's the thing. That's why I put them together, because I think of New Avengers 10 is a better Infinity book than Infinity, if that makes any sense.
It does.
Where I'm reading, yeah, because I'm reading Infinity, I understand what he's doing. And you know how you said you're not sure what Black Bolt and Maximus's plan are? That's played out in Infinity. So, like, you do get the payoff there. But like I said, it just seems like I understand more. It's more fluid. There's not as confusing. And in the end, I'm enjoying New Avengers way more. Like I said, if it wasn't for just the four or five things that are keeping me on it and being a big Thanos fan, I wouldn't. But I would still be reading New Avengers, because I think it flows better without Infinity than Infinity flows better with New Avengers. I think I might have messed that up, but I think I got it.
No, that makes sense.
Okay. So, but yeah, that's the way I look at this crossover right now.
So I think that shows how strong the New Avengers book is, that someone who is reading Infinity and someone who is not reading Infinity, who just picked up New Avengers 10 blind, as in myself, were able to enjoy that book equally. Kind of see, that's where everything is lining up.
And that's cool.
Yes, it is cool. So... kudos. Hopefully, maybe I'll check out the next issues of New Avengers to see where this goes.
Right. So, what we're looking forward to this week?
Yes, the book that we have coming up this week. I flip-flopped on this a bit, as I had mentioned before, so I'll be interested to see where you come down on this one.
See, I'm going to take a guess just on yours. Is it Sinestro, because you're a big Sinestro fan?
No, it's actually not. Sinestro is in my maybe pile, whether or not I'm even going to get it or not.
Do we have that on record? Did we record that Leonard said Sinestro's in his maybe pile?
Well, again, I think we've talked about it before, and I think we can talk about the end of Geoff Johns' run on Green Lantern. It was issue 20, correct?
Right.
So we're talking about a book that came out 3 to 4 months ago, so I feel confident in being able to speak about it here. I think that he gave a good end to Sinestro in that book, kind of wrote the final chapter to kind of put the character on the shelf for now, that we don't have to have a story written about him so soon.
Right.
And now here we are 3 months later, 4 months later, and we're already talking about him and, you know, whatever the circumstances of it are. This could just be a flashback story that explains why and how he got there. But I say let Sinestro be for now, and this is kind of my way of saying, like, you know what? Maybe I'll get it. Maybe I will. We'll see. Right. But that wasn't my book. We're talking about a book that I'm not even going to get.
Okay. So what is it then?
Saga number 14.
Oh, well, that's a good choice. That's a good choice.
Yes.
Do you want
to
go ahead?
Again, nothing much else to say. Saga was on a sabbatical for about 3 to 4 months itself because Brian K. Vaughan was working on the Under the Dome TV show. It is back and back on a regular schedule. I liked the way the last issue ended. I see from the preview pages, now I didn't get a chance to read it yet, but I think my wife did, and I'm very jealous of her that she got an opportunity to read it before I did. But it looks as though, at least from the preview pages and the solicited cover for December's issue, it looks like those tabloid journalist type people are going to be playing a little bit bigger of a role, and I'm excited to see where that goes and where their loyalties will end up.
Well, it's going to be anticlimactic because Saga is also my pick.
Oh, goodness. I didn't think it was going to be. I had no idea what your pick was going to be. I'm like, no, it can't be Saga, but Saga is awesome, so it should be.
It's the book you should pick a lot. I mean, that's mm-hmm. that's just the way it is. I look over. I mean, I'm having a great week this week, but that's the one. I mean, just Saga is just ridiculously awesome. It's like that and that every month in Walking Dead and Thor is just like where it's at for me right now. So,
yes. So Saga's a great book. Definitely check it out. Yeah, that's another one that's always traded and printed, and you can always get a copy of it. And it was one of the books that the current ongoing books that I recommend the most over anything else.
It's the book.
So, no, go ahead. It's the book.
It's the book that, you know, at the shop is given away as a recommendation most because it seems to be just so accessible to almost like, you know, any kind of fan of certain things. It just seems like compared to the recommendations, like how many people liked it to like didn't is ridiculously lopsided. So
that's awesome. The more people reading it, the better. That means they'll keep making it, and I'll get a chance. I'll get the opportunity to continue reading an awesome comic book.
Mm-hmm, totally.
So, speaking of awesome comic books and awesome comic book news, be sure to follow the show on the Twitter machine at Weekly Longbox. You can also follow Todd on Twitter if you enjoy, you know, wallowing in the depression that is the 2013-2014 football season with him.
Ugh. That's all I got to say about that. And I'm finally that over. I think I'm 200 followers now. Woohoo!
Oh, that's awesome.
Yay.
You need to follow my friend Words on Twitter.
I will. I'll find him.
He's giving away credit card numbers. He's offering to buy followers. It's a shame.
Oh, well. I would do it for free because you recommended it.
Oh, I can only hope so.
Okay.
So you can follow Todd on Twitter at Roker the Joker. That's R-O-W-K-E-R, the Joker. And you can follow me on Twitter if you are so inclined. My numbers are such a mess. I, like, lose 6 people a day and gain 3. I don't even care anymore. It's LF Chikarason. That's LFCHIKARASON on the Twitter. And also you can email me at that same handle, LFChikarason@ymail.com. I'm going to be in Booton, New Jersey this Sunday for Wrestling is Respect. I've been off for the month of September with wrestling, and October is looking a little lean, and then November, I think I have five shows in the month of November. It's going to be crazy in November.
Ooh, I might have to, you know, carry the show for a little bit.
Possibly. So all this Twitter talk, of course, this is the way to get in touch with us, and this is the way to participate in our weekly Twitter question. And last week's question was Todd's question, which was, who is your favorite kid in comic books?
Yes, a child doesn't. We did Sidekick already, so this is, you know, anybody who's, you know,
right. If it ends up being a Sidekick, then, you know, if your favorite kid is a Sidekick, then by all means, more power to you.
Right.
You know, we did get a few Sidekicks, and again, it's debatable, you know, whether, you know, it's a Sidekick or a kid, because, you know, for me, being an old man, and Todd, you being an old man, I'm sure anyone under the age of 30 to you is a kid.
Oh, yes, definitely. With these backaches, and I can't hear and see, it's terrible.
Right. You know, Michael Hansgar, Tom Gerke, two longtime listeners to the show, both said Tim Drake, whether it be Robin or Red Robin. I'm sure they probably lean a little bit more to Robin. And he's a great character, and he's a kid. You know, he started off as a young kid who hacked his way into Batman's life. Hit Girl from the Kick-Ass movies and comic books was mentioned by Heather Hansgar, wife of Michael, and... who else mentioned? Mike Schaefer, another longtime listener. Billy Batson was very surprisingly got some love from Dave Howard on Twitter. Howard the Dave and Urban Remnant both mentioned Billy Batson. I was surprised to see Billy come up. I wonder what their take on the current version of Billy Batson is in the New 52.
Interesting, because I like the new Billy Batson.
Hmm. Kevin Burza, another longtime listener who changed his Twitter handle. Confound you. These people need to send out press releases when they change their Twitter handle. I'm so used to writing down the old one, and then I have to update my notes. The Ginger Avenger, without the extra E in Avenger at the end. He said Charlie Brown is his favorite kid in comics, and that's a really fun choice.
That's a great one. I loved reading Peanuts when I was growing up in the comics. The daily and the Sunday comics were the best.
I used to have, as a kid, like they'd be like almost like a paperback book sized collections of all the Peanuts strips, and I love them. Love them, love them, love them.
Me too. I got them from Reading is Fun, from like the school projects that they used to do, and I got all the, I used to get the little Peanuts books. I think they're the exact same. I'm with you.
Yeah, so those are great, but that was not my choice. Now, this is the one that I thought we were going to line up on.
Okay.
And since this was your choice, I'm going to let you go first.
I'm wondering, because I'm going with Wally West as Kid Flash.
Oh!
Swing and a miss? Did I miss?
We did not line up.
Okay, but that's okay.
That's a good choice. Now, see, Wally for me was already the Flash when I was became a fan of Wally, but you had been with him for a very long time.
Right. That.
So you remember him as a kid, of course.
Yes, I remember in the red and the yellows, you know, so that's why I thought of it. And then Wally grew into the Flash, so I watched him grow up. It was like my little boy growing up, so that's the way I look at it.
Now, see, I was not alone in my choice. One of our longtime listeners as well, Noel Margate, had him as his choice. My favorite kid in comic books. As a kid, every month I read about him, and I worry for him, and that's Carl Grimes.
Right.
He's my favorite kid in comics. He's somebody we're seeing grow up right in front of our eyes as well, Todd.
Yes, into a psychopath.
Well, I think he and Wally are going to have a similar future.
Uh-oh.
In that Wally has no future. He has not existed for the last 3 years. And I think at some point, Carl may not exist either.
Well, I think, you know, everybody's going to die in The Walking Dead at some point. But you think it's sooner than later?
No. I think it's going to be quite some time from now. Mm. But yeah, things don't look good for Carl, I think. And currently, they don't look good for Carl. He lives a horrible life. But he is my favorite character. Not just a kid character, but possibly my favorite character in Walking Dead.
Hmm. Wow.
Except for zombie number 24. Maybe he's my favorite.
Really? Not zombie 17?
No, Zombie 17, a little bit too much with the
yeah,
too much
see,
with the chomp, chomp, but chomp. Yeah.
Yours is a camera hog. That's why I don't. He's trying to get in every shot. I don't like him. Wow.
So thanks everyone who contributed to this past week's Twitter question. This upcoming week's Twitter question is similar to a question that we had back on episode 51. Similar, but not exact. Obviously, we all read superhero comics. That's the most amount of comic books that there are out there. We all love superheroes. But other than superheroes, what is your other favorite genre in comic books?
Ooh.
Is it crime? Is it romance? Is it horror? Is it sci-fi? What is it? Let us know what your favorite non-superhero genre in comics is. Throw the hashtag GrizzWLQ in there, and we'll compile them all up and talk about them next week.
Yes, that's an interesting one.
Yes, this one actually, when I first thought of it, I was reading something. It was actually something that we talked about this past week. On this week's episode, I was reading the Arcane book, and I'm like, is horror my favorite non-superhero genre? And then I had to do some thinking.
That is, I think I know Mayan, but I'm interested to hear yours.
Yes. So just let us know.
Ooh, bless
Hopefully
you.
Hopefully that didn't get picked up. Woo! Luckily my mute button works.
Perfectly.
sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. So we'll compile it all, talk about it here next week, and as I say every week until we get... You know, once it gets to the 100th episode, I can't say we're creeping ever closer to the 100th episode, because we'll have already reached it and passed it.
Mm-hmm. We're rocketing towards it now.
Right. And we have a really cool prize to give away on the 100th episode, and Todd and I are under the gun in our way to figure out how we're going to give this away.
No procrastination on our part, ever.
No, because we're going to have to announce it at the very least on next week's episode, right?
Definitely, and then maybe unveil it on the Twitter machine.
I think we have to unveil it on the show, right?
Right, but I mean, and let people see what it is, too.
Oh, that's right. Yes,
I mean,
yes.
We have a picture of it, so you can see.
That makes sense.
Are you mopping what I'm spilling now?
I am mopping what you're spilling now.
Okay.
Oh boy. So yeah, it's a really cool prize. It's actually something that I would want myself, and I'm sure Todd would want himself.
Definitely.
But here we are. We're giving this to you, the listeners, for supporting us over these last 97 shows. 97. Putting a bow on it. It's going to be done here shortly. Hopefully you're going to hang with us up to episode 100 and beyond. And hey, if you're a new listener, that's okay too. You don't have to listen to the previous episodes. It's like a brand new continuity in every episode.
That's right. We're the new 97. Next week, the new 98.
Right. I was actually going to say that this show is almost like an Etch-a-Sketch. After we're done, we will shake our head and it's a blank slate.
Oh, yes, it is. And next week we should have watched the S.H.I.E.L.D. show by then.
That's correct, yes. We did not get a chance to watch S.H.I.E.L.D. live. I don't watch very much TV live.
Well, you have an adventurous life. You're always chasing a baby around, or a young man now, so
right.
You're very busy. Me, I just sleep a lot, so...
You sleep knowing that you have a fancy TV in Grand Theft Auto 5 waiting for you if you decide to roll out of bed.
That is true.
So, again, I do thank everyone for listening, and closing out the episode, we're kind of stretching things here, but I do thank you all for listening. For Todd, this is Leonard, and we will catch you all next week.